Hi, and welcome to a new series about relationships. I usually host Elie's Cafe Talks. My real full name is Ophélie, and today we start something new with Till.
Hello.
And why we make this is we thought about doing a relationship series because we started to notice that when we would talk to people in general, it would stay on the surface. When we would share about the relationship, everything is always good, and we would not. I find that people don't share their struggles enough, and then maybe suddenly one day they're not together anymore. And with my friends, we share about struggles, but usually not so much. And then we got inspired by Pardiologie, the podcast with Charlotte Roche.
And her husband.
Martin, I think, yeah?
She just says Martin.
Right. Yeah. And then we thought, okay, we're going to do that because we could relate a lot to a lot of the things they talked about.
Yeah, and we also thought, I mean, they're like double our age almost, but we thought, why not share things already earlier, you know, before you
spend 15 years together. We've been in the relationship for 2 years now,
yeah.
Only. And that's why I was hesitant at the beginning. I thought, no, we're not ready to share about...
Or we didn't go through all this shit they went through, and like, who are we to share things, you know, like...
So that's at the back of our mind, and will be, I think, all the time. Who are we to share this thing? But we're just going to try.
Yeah, and maybe you find something that you find useful, or you can relate to, or it's something like you always wanted to talk about yourself, like you wanted to talk about with others yourself, but you thought it was crazy.
And then
you didn't dare to share it, and that's what we thought. What you said in the beginning, like it seems like people don't talk about problems, and we had the impression that it's because people are ashamed and they think like these problems, it's just us, and we have to deal with it ourselves, and you know, it's we're just weird in that, and we cannot show it. And I believe, or we both, I think, but maybe me more. That we are all, we all have our crazy sides, and it's just this belief in society there is something as the norm, you know, what's considered normal, and subconsciously we want to fit into it, and that's why whenever something doesn't fit into it, we try to either push it away or negotiate. Ah, that's just the horses. We are here, there's horses, so if you hear weird noises...
Ducks or horses, yeah.
Ducks are not horses. Yeah.
So while we are at it, we're not in Basel and not in a cafe. We are in the middle of Germany, and we came here for a wedding, but we're glamping in a tiny house, and there's a pond, and there are animals everywhere. It's very beautiful. But yeah, it's a different kind of setting, but super cozy. And so that was the introduction, why we are doing this. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So, who am I? It's a good question.
Till?
I'm Till Brockmeier. My childhood, I grew up in Freiburg,
Germany.
In Germany, yeah, not the one in Switzerland. And
what do you study now? What do you do?
Right now, I'm in the school. It's called Atem-, Sprech- und Stimmlehrer. So that would mean basically all the things you do are based on breathing. But then also it's a lot about vocal techniques, whether it's for singing or for speaking. And we also have many clinical courses, like phoniatry or anatomy, all these things. And also we have one course that's very much related to body work, you know, like massage techniques for helping the breath go into the body again and helping to relax and all these things, you know, that are maybe similar to Kranio, yeah, Shiatsu, if you know that. And before that, I mean, my first profession is a stonemason, and I still use it now in holidays often to work on and make some money.
So what are you, what would you say you're interested in the most?
Right now?
Right now.
So lately I've been singing a lot, and it's really at the moment my the thing I spend a lot of energy and time in. And on the one side it's because I love to do it, but I think on the other side it's also about challenging myself. And I feel because the throat is really much the connection between my inner self and the outer self. So for me, but it's also with speaking, but especially in singing, I feel you have to face your fears, especially when you sing in front of other people. But also, it can give you so much joy, you know, like this joy and fear is very close, and you're kind of on the edge or like on a knife, and it can always go, or often it's also both at the same time in a way. And you're really showing yourself, you know, when you're on stage, it's you. And sometimes it's beautiful, it's cool. And of course, it's nice when people like it or when they're touched and all that. But also, you're very naked in a way. Your soul is just there. And
in general, what do you like to do? And this will be interesting for what comes later. What do you like to do if you have free time?
Like I already said, with the singing, so music is part of that.
So more singing?
More singing, no, but also for me, movement is very important, for sure. Like every day I move, some at least, whether it's animal flow or climbing if I have the time. In general, moving my body, because I feel really, if I move my body, I also stay, and however you say it, in the flow or
connected to yourself.
Yeah, and I can also, for me, it's also a way to, when I had a lot of things during the day and maybe it was stressful, it's to release this, you know, to let it go. Mm-hmm. So for me, really, like, not only moving, but also exhausting myself with movement is really a way of letting go and being able to relax afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very essential.
Yeah. So, a few words about what I like to do, because I never share. I'm always the one asking questions. I used to... Why this, actually, Elise Coffee Talk got created also was... I was teaching yoga for a few years and in Basel, and then I didn't anymore because of back problems, and then it switched, and while I was teaching yoga already, I was noticing I like to promote for local businesses and people, things I enjoyed, and so with this podcast, it also, not only do I love talking to people, but also, and drinking coffee, obviously. But I also promote them in a way, or that's my aim, to show other people, hey, this person that offers that, and this person does that, and maybe go see her or him. Yeah, so this is Elise Coffee Talks, and what I like to do on my free time is more... meeting people over coffee or a glass of wine. And sure, I enjoy a hike sometimes, but this is gonna be also important for the other episodes, or maybe this one later, I don't know. Till likes to be in nature more, and that's how he recharges. And I like to be alone also a lot, but I love to talk to my girlfriends or like-minded people and just have ideas all the time and be on this high.
And that's why you make this joke. It's nature boy and city girl.
Yeah. I call him nature boy all the time because he just knows how to survive in nature and I don't. But I know how to survive in the city, and maybe it's not your thing too much, yeah, too much
happening. I know how to survive, but not really.
Enjoy.
Like, I can enjoy it to some point, but then I really, I need to retreat again.
Mm.
I don't like to be too much. Mm. It's too hyper for me,
I think. So this is also we're going to talk about that, because we had to find a middle way in our relationship with those two tendencies, and also the solution where we might find for the future. Well, we'll see. And so, how we met, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the question is, where do we start? I think we should start at the very beginning. So on the one side, you could say it's very romantic. We met at Landestelle.
That's what dancing. We tell people.
That's what we tell people, but the real beginning is really Tinder.
Yeah, the classic.
I think you said you wanted to delete Tinder. No?
I only had it for a month, maybe, max, in total. And you were my last date.
The final
destination. And then I met you, and I think even before meeting you, I think I deleted the account or the app, or just the app.
It was the last chance.
Yeah, and why I wanted to be on Tinder was to write a blog post. You can find it on my website, The Journey of Illy. And it was just as an experiment, but deep down I really wanted to. I really hope to find Prince Charming, actually. Like, it's like
every, I think you said dream. That even on our first date, right?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I think you said it.
I'm very honest.
I think we, in our first date, we talked actually about why we went on Tinder, or, you know, what was our aim. We didn't talk about what are you doing, what is this, but we really talked about, hey, what is this whole Tinder thing, and why the hell are you there, or I drove you, and for me at that time, I think I was really, how do you say, changing my perspective a bit on the relationship. Word. No, but before that, I would say I was really this guy, also very romantic. I mean, I'm still romantic, but thinking that I will find a perfect partner and, you know, and life will just happen to it, and blah, blah, blah. And then I went to this seminar. It's the second part of the, after the hero's journey. Maybe I'll talk about that in another podcast. And then there's the lover's journey. So it's really about also, like doing a journey inside yourself and finding out about your sexuality, how you
what you want, no?
Yeah, what you want, but also what means relationship to you, you know, what are your values and what are you attracting, you know? And so I noticed I was always coming from a place of lacking love.
Mm.
You know, like as if I need the partner to feel whole. This romantic idea, like
that
I think there's even this Greek, I don't know, story. I don't know exactly how it goes, but it goes a little bit like, first there was these people, they were like a bowl, and then for some reason they made the gods angry, and then the gods split them into two halves, so they can never be whole again. But then people found a way, and that was love, you know, to be whole.
Mm.
I mean, it's a nice, in a way, it's a nice idea. But it's really romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think you can complement each other or even find, you know, through the other one, we'll talk about that also with the mirroring later. But I think what is also, you can be a team, but what is also essential is that you will, we have to notice, if you don't have it in yourself already, you can never find somebody that can give it to you. You know, like this feeling of, in German it's called Urvertrauen, or like a deep
trust
or feeling love. You know, this called principle of universal love. It's nothing you can, if you don't have a sense of it already, you can't find it in the outside. And so I think what was for me was different when I met you. It was not in a place of lacking, but I was, in this time, I was really like just
experimenting.
Yeah, experimenting.
It was summer.
And I think I even said on one of the first dates, like, hey, I'm just here for the summer. And right now I'm not looking for partnership or something, you know. And so we just let it kind of, I think we started in a place where we didn't have expectation on it. Like, we have to find the perfect partner. Yeah. Maybe deep down we wanted, like you said, you were looking for Prince Charming. I also still, it was in me. But I think I was much more relaxed and could let it go more.
But I think when you go on Tinder anyway, it's not your goal to find a perfect partner. No? I don't know.
No, it's not. But I think also with this, people, of course, of the surface, it looks like they're looking for sex. But I think deep down, everybody is looking for love or to feel comforted. And maybe more the women think, like, deep down, yeah, if it's really good, maybe he will stay. You know, this cliche. And but I think men also, deep down, I believe we all deep down want to be loved. And some choose pleasure over, you know, deep connection and love. But it's just because they maybe got hurt so much that they say, okay, I don't want that anymore. I just want the pleasure. I just want the sex. But I don't want commitment. Yeah, I think it's something we all subconsciously hope for. Even though some people would say, no, I just want sex, you know, it's all I want. But if you dig deeper, if you continue, you will notice, okay.
You want connection.
Yeah, or you, there's too many fears, so you want, right now you stay on the surface, but deep down you want connection, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how we met on Tinder. We met in Basel because you were there to work for the summer, and I understood, because you said you're from Freiburg, so I understood that you were living there. But no, because we didn't talk about what we do for a living, really. Or you said you studied, I said I was teaching yoga, and that was pretty much it. And then later you texted, I actually live in, I study in Hanover.
And I'm just there for the summer, 6 weeks.
So, just to let you know, okay, whatever. And then we met again the next day, and then you moved in 2 weeks later for a few weeks, and then you moved back up north, and we've been doing long distance. I was living with you for a few months until a couple months ago, but
in Baden enough.
Yeah. In Baden, next to Hanover. But basically, mostly long distance, with sometimes 1 month or a few months together. At either my place or your place, or yeah. So, do you want to add anything to that part, the beginning? So that was 2 years ago.
Maybe you can add something to, you said whatever. But what I remember you wrote was, let's just see and enjoy what we have now. Yeah. And let's just see. I think that's what you said.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I changed phones in between. I don't know. But yeah, it's something casual at the beginning, but
with low expectation, and I think that was a good start. Maybe
also
I want to add that it's not exactly how we met, but I could add that to expectations and how things start. So I, when I look back, I really see that because I had low expectations, I had less pressure on it. And in previous relationships, I often went into the thing with high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it's like the killer of things can grow naturally, is putting a lot of pressure
mm-hmm.
with expectations. You know, it's like as if you put everybody knows this saying of you can't pull the grass to let it grow faster, and then you just pull too hard and it breaks. But yeah, it's in a way it's true. It's always these simple, for me, it's always these simple metaphors.
Yeah.
That make me understand things, and sometimes they seem so obvious, but if you really dig deeper, you notice it's not that
simple. Yeah, and I use that in my everyday life, having no expectations for food or how cool a wedding is going to be.
You use that?
I try to use it. You say, babe, no expectations. The wedding planner maybe is old and...
old fat lady living in the basement, smoking pot all day. Has no
taste. And that was yesterday because I was getting excited to go to the wedding. And then Till said, don't get too excited. Don't get your expectations too high. Yeah, it's really useful in an everyday life. It's really hard though to apply. But in the end, I didn't have too many expectations and... it was okay.
Yeah, that leads kind of to the next topic. It's not wedding, but it's engagement. It's quite close, I would say.
Our engagement.
Yeah, I can talk about that a bit.
Yeah.
So, of course, this kind of topic, I mean, at least in our relationship, came up a few times when other people get married or, you know, always somewhere it's floating around and then it comes up and then... people ask you, hey, how about you? You thought about it. And I think in the beginning I was more annoyed when people would ask me. It's like this same thing of expectation is the people asking you and, hey, mm-hmm. how is it? Like this poking.
Mm.
And I feel when people do that to me, it makes me move further away from it. Because almost it's also like an expectation or a pressure. Like they ask, okay, how's it with you? But... what I feel is they saying, hey, when are you doing it? You know, it's like almost more like
a... and you're a rebel, so you don't
want to do it. Yeah, it's true. When somebody asked me to do something, I would not do it. But if somebody gives me the space, then I would take time and let it process. And then I will come on my own back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, or you, notice that more and more. And...
I try to apply it
also in the small things during the day, you know, just give me some space. I think yesterday we had it also in the wedding, because for me, at some point, it was too many people, also people I don't know, and I notice if there's too many people, at some point it's too much, you know,
it was just boring, but yeah.
It was boring, but also, even if it would not have been boring, I think it just was, I didn't feel comfortable, so... we went for a walk and then we sit beside each other and I don't know, consciously or subconsciously, you let me sit a little bit apart.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point I would come to you, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't come to you because you asked me to come, but because you first gave me the space and then mm-hmm. I felt like, I also wanted to be closer to you, but I also sensed like, you want to be closer, you know? So it's like, if you give your partner what your partner needs instead of mm-hmm. asking him what you want, then the partner can do the same for you. And then you can both do it because you want to serve and not because you feel you have to do it. And I think that's a very important thing. And it was the same for me for the wedding thing. When you stopped kind of talking about it, or even, I think there was this one conversation where you said, yeah, in the end, really, my goal is that you're happy, and even if it means, for example, with kids, you know, if you want to have kids one day,
yeah, and I don't... we should develop on that, yeah, but...
And if you, yeah, if you want kids and I don't, you know, at some point, maybe it really means you find another partner. And for me, I don't think that far, because I think these things can change. But of course, it's important to talk about it. But what it made me realize is that you really care about that I'm happy. And even if it means to let go, you know? And
of the partner.
Yeah, of the relationship. And for some reason, that made me realize more, even like, wow, she gives me this, like, the most freedom I could imagine.
She gives me space.
She gives me the most space I can imagine, you know? Like, even dropping out of the relationship. And for me, then it...
of course, then he came back.
And then I wanted to come even closer to her. And that meant in the, you know, longer run to marry her. I think it's really that. Like, she gave me so much space.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to give her so much more. I mean, commitment also, but also this, however you call it, security, or just telling the partner, hey, I'm here, I'm there for you, I want to be with you. And, yeah.
It's a dynamic, huh?
It's all about dynamics.
What I'm going to add about the... I'm not so much the kind of girl who is going to be like, when do you ask me to get married? When do you ask me? But last year, so my perfect wedding proposal I had in mind was to get engaged at the beach, because that's my element, the water, the ocean. Yeah, especially the ocean. And so we were in Bretagne with friends. And it was beautiful. We were celebrating our 1 year being together. And of course, it's not a lot of time, but I just thought, hey, if he does it, then it's gonna be... And it was a beautiful day. It was the perfect day for me. We rented a Vespa and we drove around the island. It was Belle Île en Mer. And we had delicious food. We swam at a deserted beach. It was so nice. And then that's why I think it was so on my mind that, hey, if he would ask now, wow, would be so cool. And then you didn't. And then I didn't talk about it anymore, because then we were not in that special for me kind of situation anymore. So mm-hmm. That's why I wasn't talking about it. And also, I think there was a time with your family, maybe a bit, they were asking maybe a couple of times. Well, so
also, but your mom, or I mean
friends, yeah, whatever. But apart from that, it's not, I'm not gonna be the one who says, when do you ask me, when you not at all, right?
No, but also, sometimes I think expectation can also be more, how do you say, discreet. No, not discreet. Like, not obviously asking when do you marry me, but in little, you know, the way you do things or say things, I still feel like...
Yeah. Well, I dropped it completely, to be honest, because I moved up north and it was not serving me freely, because it was a decision to join you up there, but for me, it was really not a... I was like, I had the worst back pain of my life when I was there, so I think my body told me, hey, don't do this shit. Move back to Basel and drink your coffee in your hipster places with your hipster friends.
No, but okay, yes.
So then I was a bit distant, actually.
You were distant, but also, like, now you told me it made you realize who is really important to you, or also what friend, you know, you stayed in contact with, and also what kind of what was important for you. For example, with a podcast, all these ideas grew in this retreated, or however you want to call it, place where you're not, where not in this environment that you love or that you now want to be in, but kind of you took a step back, and then you could see maybe also more the bigger picture, and also the pain made you realize to, I can imagine, made you realize to really also listen to your body, like, what is this?
I mean, that's a whole other topic. I will talk about it on another podcast of a friend, Stephanie, about the back pain and how it's psychosomatic and all these things. But yeah, I'm glad I moved, because it made me realize what do I really like and what is really important for me. And yeah, moving back was great. So that's when, at that time you thought, I was taking a bit of distance, and at that time you thought, wow, I really love her.
Gave me, like, distance also, you maybe saw it as negative, like, I don't feel so close to him. But for me, again, it was this, even if she not, like, consciously gives me space, like, okay, you need the space, but maybe more because she was, like you said, more going back. But then by this, she going back automatically gave me more space, and made me realize, this is the woman I want to be with.
So that's what's going on for you, and what's going on for me is, we'll see what happens, and let's take it easy, and I'm going on holiday for 3 weeks by myself, and it's a lot of distance. So I obviously was not thinking about getting married at all at this moment.
Why I thought, okay, let's do it then. She expected the,
dynamics least. Again. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So
when she expected the least,
So let's come back to this engagement thing, because again, like the whole thing with finding the Prince Charming, it's the same, I think, in many people, or maybe especially women's heads, that it's got to be perfect, and for you on the beach, or really beautiful, and the prince comes, of course, and he brings the perfect ring or whatever, it's again.
No, but I think we all have a different idea of an engagement. For me, it's just a beach, but.
But in the end, you were not the one proposing, but me. So in the end, I decided. And
once he joked about asking me in a caravan, so at least that didn't happen.
No, I think what was funny yesterday, the priest at the wedding, he talked about, like, we all have these ideals and like perfect pictures, like you said, with a Prince Charming. We have this idealized
partner,
but also idolized in situations, like the idolized, like the perfect way to ask somebody for the wedding and the perfect wedding. So maybe I can say that right now already, because when I was doing my stonemason training, I remember there was one guy telling me, the fancier the wedding is, the uglier the divorce will be, in a way, like.
And I had never heard that saying before. Yeah.
But I think it's very true. And for many things in life, it can also be a relationship. The more glamorous it looks from the outside, maybe the more fucked up it is in the inside. Because why else you need to project outside all the time, like, this is so perfect. This is, if not inside, there's something, you want to not show. And I mean, it's also true for if somebody appears very arrogant, underneath he's just very insecure, or if somebody appears very rude, maybe it's very sensitive, this person. Like, on the surface, you have this thing that it seems like this. Mm-hmm. Or if somebody, I think yesterday we talked about some guys, they seem to be very tough, but inside they're very soft.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And some women, they seem to be so soft outside, but when you get to know them, they're really inside, they're really like...
strong.
Bit, yeah, strong, but also... yeah, strong in the positive way, but if we go to this cliche again, it's this... also, you have in the fairy tales, you know, they have this beautiful woman, and inside it's a witch, you know? It's just...
yeah, okay.
I'm just talking about the contrast that
so back
how
to,
it appears outside
yeah.
often is not
okay.
Yeah.
So you made sure not to do too fancy, so get the divorce out. Is not gonna be too ugly.
Yeah, just normal divorce.
Okay, so we got engaged mid-June. Now it's
on Pentecost. It was exactly on Pentecost.
Yeah. Now it's end of July. I don't know how when the podcast is going to come out, but it's end of July 2019, and we got engaged in June 2019.
It was the 9th of June, or the 10th.
I don't even know the date. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it was. No.
Okay. Erased from the memories. Worst day of
engaged?
My life.
No.
No, but in a way, it's true, because, of course, I didn't, like I said, I didn't want, oh, it's not that I didn't want to make it beautiful, but I didn't want to make it cliche,
and
romantic,
it's also
fancy.
Not you. Yeah.
It wouldn't be me, exactly. I think that was very important to me, to not do something just to please you, and it's nice for you, but then it wouldn't be me, because then I believe if you set this stone, like, it's like building a relationship. Building a relationship is like building a house. And the first brick... you will hear many of these. I love it.
It's like
the first brick you put to build your house is very essential, because if this one is not... like, it's, let's say, at least you try to be make it authentic. I mean, of course, always you will... try to do it nice, or, you know, please the other one, but still, at least you try to also find out, okay, what is me? What do I want?
Mm.
And this is the first stone. And if this stone already is kind of just made to please, or just, you know, to make it perfect, then the other stones you put on top, you even will go further away from you. And at some point, you will just notice all this house is just built out of things that are
not you,
and maybe only to please. And then these things, I imagine that these things come up, like, all the years I just did that for you, and now it's time to pay me back, you know? All these things come because you built up, and you can't get out of it again anymore, because the dynamic started. It's like you, in a way, it's also like you decide to go a path, or what could be the picture? Or like,
we got it, I think. So stay true to yourself, even when you want to make the other, you want it to be nice, but it has to be nice for you first, right?
It has to be congruent. It means it has to be in line with what you feel, but still in touch with the partner.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So that weekend, we went to Heidelberg, kind of in the middle of Germany, to meet halfway, because I had already moved back to Basel, and you were still up north, and we thought, okay, we meet for the long weekend, and you have friends there, and we thought, okay, Heidelberg, it's a cute little town, and we...
we can do half-half, city and nature,
yeah,
so
yeah.
City boy, nature girl.
Yeah, nature is really close, and... you wanted to climb, and I had agreed to that because I know how much you like it. But I do it to challenge myself to get out of my comfort zone, because I listen to all those podcasts that say that you have to do that. So I do that.
You hate it.
But it's really hard, and yeah, it's not my favorite thing. And it's scary because I'm afraid of heights. And yeah, so I knew.
But you once bought these climbing shoes in Tenerife.
Yeah, so we boulder sometimes, that's fine, but it's still challenging, very challenging. But I do it, because I know how much it means to you, and it's not the worst thing, and I believe in the end of the world, let's say it right now, so...
Whatever that means.
If we have to flee to nature or something, I will be able to climb. But that's just my little crazy side. So anyway, so we had planned one day in the city and one day climbing. So that's what we did. And also we had an Airbnb until wanted to make a cake. But we had no oven in the Airbnb, and he didn't know. I didn't know either. So we arrived on Friday evening, and Saturday morning he starts to do something in the kitchen, and I have no idea why. And that's where the story starts, or my side of the story starts. And so he tried to keep everything secret. He's like, don't look, don't come in the kitchen. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm not gonna look. And you're actually baking the cake in the pan.
Yeah, because there was no oven.
Yeah. So you do that, and then I'm thinking, okay, we can have the cake later. And then you say, No,
it was like...
We cannot have it later today, because let's have it when we... After the hike, you have to deserve it, la 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 la
no,
la.
No, but this day we were supposed to hike already, and after, then we didn't do it, because we went to the castle, it was fine.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to eat it at home, because I knew what was in it, and for you it was just like, come on, let's just eat this cake.
I just wanted chocolate cake.
And you, the whole time you thought it's just about the... About this chocolate cake.
No.
Yeah.
No, I already thought of this.
Of what?
Of the ring.
No. Yeah. You just pretended to not.
I thought I'm not gonna say it, because if it's not that, he's gonna say that I talk about this shit again, you know?
And then you never do it.
But at that time it was fine, you know, but I was like, oh my God.
But you still didn't really expect it, because once it happened, you were still very surprised.
Yeah.
And I asked you, and you said you didn't. You thought it would be another surprise. You thought it would be a surprise for travel or something. You said you didn't think of
travel.
A ring. Yeah, like it says like, a Gucci for...
Let's go to Japan or something.
Yeah, like a voucher.
For no reason. Because it was not my birthday, it was not your birthday.
Yeah, but something else.
Yeah. So, it was really weird that we couldn't eat the cake.
So, let me come to the point so we can talk about the after thing, because otherwise we'll lose in details.
Yeah, I think it's important already.
So, we did this whole thing, we went climbing, and of course it was hard... At some point, you wanted to kill me, you know, like the usual thing. And yeah, also, you said it was for you very challenging. And when you were up on the wall, you had, again, you were scared of the height and all that. And when you came down, I think you rather wanted to hit me than, you know, enjoy nature around us. So it took some time until you came down again.
I was crying my eyes out. Yeah. Going up, going down, after, all the time.
Yeah, and so... But still, it was a really nice place, I believe. In nature, and there were rocks everywhere, and... Anyways.
So for you, it was really nice.
I can, you know, I can play Gollum and jump from one rock to the other. I can just play around, so I love this space, of course. But...
So you were just in a super excited space.
Yeah, for me, it was really a nice space, but also, for me, I wanted to do the engagement in nature. I would have done it also hiking on this top of a mountain, and then, like, with the sunset, still nice. And then, you know, do it then. But I wanted to do it like going through something challenging together and then do it. It's like a little birth, you know? It's the same when you come to the world. It's not, you don't just walk through a golden gate and then you're here and everything's perfect. No, as a kid, you go to this very narrow...
metaphor.
Yeah, metaphor again. You know, it's really hard to come here and... But it's all necessary that you feel yourself and all these... You know, nowadays we all know that, like, all these challenges or this little birth that we have during our life is necessary, you know, the resistance and all that, to build resilience or to build strength or connection also, I believe. So this was a little birth for me processed, you know, for us to go through this needle... ear, I don't know what's it called, the narrow of the needle, you know, go through it, go through the challenge, and then...
But Till likes resistance and challenge.
I like challenge.
I like comfort.
Exactly. So for me, I always like to challenge myself and to go through something I first think I cannot do, and then after I notice, wow, I can do it, and it feels really good to me. And so, yes, it was challenging. But it took some time until he started crying and I calmed down and all that. And then finally we ate something and then you just ate half of the chocolate cake and said, I'm good. And I was like, come on, you can eat a bit more, because it was inside the thing. It was hidden. And somehow you ate a little bit more and then you discovered. But I think first you were like super surprised and what is this?
I was in shock. I was in shock of the whole experience.
Yeah. So I, of course, you could say maybe it was over the top, you know, I went too far, but I think there was no life-threatening situation or no real trauma,
I would say. No, of course not. So. And in the end, you said something interesting when I came down. You said, you could have stopped, but you didn't.
Yeah, and it's really important that I didn't force you.
No, you didn't. And I didn't even, it didn't cross my mind that I could have not climbed this thing. Or stop halfway and come down. And it was not really hard physically. It was an easy route. I don't know, 3-something for climbers who listen, maybe your friends. But it was more... There was something coming up, I knew. There was something because of the cake. And it was so scary, the rock and... What was gonna happen?
The rock was just a metaphor.
Exactly, the cliff was just a metaphor. Oh my god! For what was gonna happen, and I was crying so much because I was so scared.
And the funny thing was, of course, there was also joy after you said yes in the end. But I think after we got engaged, or we, you know, we had the rings. And we went back to our houses, because then after we were separated again, maybe that was also a reason why it was hard, but I think it was good in a way.
Yeah, it was good.
Because then we could both process it and both also like digest it. And I think that brought up also many fears. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and that's what we really wanted to share.
That was the point of this whole thing.
Like, we all made this whole story just for this.
And the fact that for me, it wasn't the fact that I really wanted to share this story, because you always see in movies that I said yes, she said yes, or Instagram or whatever, she said yes, and they show you the ring, and I didn't want to show the ring to anybody. Yeah, I was, yeah, you did.
But I posted it to everybody after it happened. Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? It was really
your
weird.
Your badass was also coming to me.
Yeah, no, but it was really weird because I was so distant at that time. And I was more in the mood, yeah, let's see what happens, and not in a super romantic phase or super, you know, yeah, super romantic. And so I thought, wow, that's not what's supposed to happen when you get engaged. You're supposed to be super happy. Why am I not super happy? Mm-hmm. This must be because it's not the right partner or the right relationship or whatever. And then I had these questions coming up, and the fact that we were not together, and I was working so much at that time in Basel, and I was back living at my mom's, and it was just hell. Like, it was between wanting to do things in the evening, like a podcast or a yoga class or whatever, and at the same time being too tired to do anything else. Mm. And there was just so much going on. And yeah, I don't know, it was really weird. And I didn't want to talk about these things too much on the phone. I really wanted to be with you and talk about what came up. But then I was supposed to come one weekend and I didn't because it was too much.
Yeah, too much work.
Yeah, and it's a 6-hour train ride. So for just a weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and I told you not to come back. It would not. And at some point you even said, yeah, okay, I come anyways, because I was disappointed. But then you said, I said, no, don't come. Because, and I think that's also a thing, again, that you would have done it anyways, because you noticed I was disappointed. But then I could say, like, okay, I appreciate the effort you would put, but I really see it's too much, so don't come.
But also, I wanted to come to talk, you know, to talk about the whole thing. And in the end, it's good I didn't come that weekend,
because I came then the other
It weekend. Helped me process, and then a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly, was good.
Then I processed more and more, but it was really tough, really tough. And then we talked on the phone a couple of times, and then I said everything I was thinking.
You were very honest, and it was really super hard for me. And then I felt very much away from you. You know, it was funny that for you, you said, it was so freeing, this talk. I said, finally, all these things, and I was like, I feel like a pile of shit, you know. It was like the worst. It was really, I hated it. And for you, it was like a really good conversation, but I think it was good to learn that a good conversation doesn't mean that both are like, so we just love each other all the time, you know? Good conversation can also be a conflict situation where one tells the truth, and then by that, maybe the other one gets hurt first. But on the long run, I think we really have more honesty since then.
Yeah, and it's also one of the things I need to work on, my throat chakra, to express my truth, of course, in a
singing
mindful
helps.
Way. Yeah, I also took singing lessons and speaking, but really say what you mean, but in a gentle way, not in a hurtful way. And I think I'm learning to do this, and I think a lot of people don't know how to do it, and that's why we lie because we don't know how to, in a loving way, say no or
but also, okay, let me add something to that, because yes, I agree with that, but I want to add that I believe the problem is not that people don't only know how to speak the truth, but they hold it back so long. And then at some point it bursts out, and then it goes out of control, you know? And then they say everything, but they just throw it at the partner, like knives to kill the partner, because they hold it back so long. And it's the same, maybe that's going to be for another podcast, but I'm going to say it already now. Like, I believe it's the same with cheating, that people hold things in all the time, like maybe desires, sexual desires, or other basic needs they have. They think like, I cannot tell that to my partner. I mean, I can just drop one thing. I know from my father that he always, like, now after this whole thing came out, I will talk about it more in another podcast when we talk about our parents, but
they will be right so now, happy we talk about it.
Right now I will already just give a little it's a little insight of that he said, he was always thinking, he cannot do that to my mom, ask her for certain things, desires he had. So he thought, I will just live these desires with other women, and so I won't hurt the woman I love. And I can even understand, and I kind of believe him, that it was not out of, like, he didn't cheat because he cheated for 15 years, but with three women, but it was not only out of, or not maybe not even out of I don't care about, you know, you didn't say my family and that, but really about, hey, I cannot do that to her, so I'll do it with others. And I think that often is the case, that people, maybe they do even things not out of rudeness or because they don't give a shit, but even the opposite, but then they never talk about that with a partner. You know, it's like...
And often what we think that the other person is going to think is not true.
It's just what we think and project on the other.
Yeah. And then when the truth comes out, it's usually quite okay.
And also what often then comes out is like this cliche thing from Loriot, maybe you know it. Like, this Loriot, it's a famous German comedian. And he always makes jokes about old couples, you know, old married couples that are they're married for many years. And then, for example, I think there's one thing where they talk about the upper half of the, what is it in English? Brötchen? I don't know. Petit pain.
I don't know, a little bread.
A little bread, anyways. So, often one likes the upper part.
Yeah. Huh? Bread roll.
Bread roll, yeah. So often one likes the upper part and the other one likes the lower part. But both are assuming, for example, the other one likes the upper part more and the other one assumes the other one likes the lower part more because that's what they love. Mm. And then after many years comes out that they gave to the partner what they love, but it was exactly the opposite from the part what the partner really loves, you know? But they never talked about it. And I think this little story shows what is true for most things, that we often give to the partner what we want
think
is good. But because we think if we give it to the partner will give us the same thing back. But what happens then is the partner thinks the same and gives you something else back, what you don't want, you know? So you end up both not getting being what miserable. You want. And both, like, not only being miserable about giving something you don't want to give, but also being miserable about getting what you don't want. So, yeah,
so communication is key, and that's basically what the engagement came
brought out.
Yeah, and the fact that I really, when I told you really everything I was thinking, and why I was in doubt or whatever, then. I knew that the risk was that you would leave. I knew that by telling you, or I thought, I didn't know because it was not true, but I thought that by telling you my truth, the risk might be you leave.
But you know what? Okay.
And oh, sorry. And so I was ready for a breakup. I was ready, but it didn't matter anymore. What mattered was my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important. And of course, I didn't say, you're a fucking asshole, and I was just like, I don't like, I cannot handle that. And if it stays like this forever, I cannot commit to, and we'll talk about what this is maybe later.
And it empowered you a lot, right?
Yeah,
it was freeing also.
It was very freeing, and then it was really hard for you to take in, but not for that long because you felt shitty, but not so long.
I think it was triggering one part of me, but also made me. I think what was the beauty of it, it made me overcome that, you know, and that's what I believe relationship, for me at least, should be about growing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, coming back to this birth thing again, always for me there's pain involved in a way that something in you has to die. Something that served you until that point has to die, because if it wouldn't die, you couldn't grow beyond it. You know what I mean? Like this, what you triggered in me, what I felt shit, it was one part of me trying to protect me to grow, like, no,
to
don't,
hold on to
you know, this pain was the holding on to that, like a habit of me that was not only causing pain for you, but also a behavior that made me weak in a way, you know, but I was holding on to it because I knew it. So it was, you know, I trusted it because it served me to that point. But then I also, because you showed me so clearly and you were like, okay, you know, like, you were so clear and so powerful in this moment, you know, like this, I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita. This, who is it? Not Shiva. Shiva is the, maybe we'll find it out later.
Yeah, we'll research the Bhagavad Gita, huh?
I think there is, no, it's not Kali. But anyways, there's the one woman.
Kali is a bitch, yeah.
Is it Kali? I think Kali. Is it a woman?
Maybe I was like challenging Kali at that moment.
No, but it's true because Kali is the god of death, but is also the goddess of death, but is also the goddess of truth. And you were in this Kali energy for sure. You know, you were cutting off heads. I made once a poem about that. You cut off heads of demons.
He calls me Dragon Queen also.
And I know that you have that because you are powerful when you do that. But you're really cutting off heads of little creatures I love till then, and they die. You know, and then I have to, you know, but and then I have to grow beyond it. And I know, in the long run, it makes me stronger, but it's very painful.
And you know, the only thing I wanted, and I want since the beginning, is that you work on that. And it's when you say, okay, when you acknowledge that you have that and that you agree to work on it, it's already good, you know, for me. But in past conversations about that, you said, no, I don't have a problem. That's how it
is. No, I said I worked on it already.
You
so
worked
much
on it already. And now it's still happening somehow, but who cares? This is me. You're my partner. You have to accept me how I am. And
what it is, we will talk in another podcast. Yeah. Just to let you know, if you want to know what it is,
listen to the next episode. Oh, that's good marketing. Yeah, so. Already that the partner agrees, acknowledges he has something he needs to work on, and we all do,
and agrees, committing
to the and then we register to a workshop, and we'll talk about what it is also later. So it's, that's
just
what
to say, it's psychology of vision, what you did, but we will explain what it is exactly.
Yeah, it's basically working on yourself during a whole weekend or a whole week or whatever. Digging deep into the shadows and all these things.
So for me, maybe to round it up a bit, to come back for how we met, because this lover's journey I did, for me, it was really about writing down what kind of partner I want. And when I wrote it down, there was really like, I want a partner that has the same values, like committing to it and wanting to grow and all these things. And so maybe subconsciously I was attracting that, and then I found it with you. But of course, you know, then having to deal with these things in real life was also very painful. So it was a bit like in the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He says you have to choose your pain, you can only choose it by choosing your values. You know, if you have shitty values, you will have pain, but then the pain won't make you grow. But if you choose kind of better values, then you will also have pain, but the pain will make you grow. So in the end, the only thing you decide really is whether you choose pain that makes you grow, or you choose pain that puts you in this down spiral. So often I believe, or I can see that people are, their goal is to avoid pain, and that's kind of like the wrong view on it, because there will always be pain or suffering, but maybe rather you focus on, you know, how, what kind of values can I have that in the long run will make me grow.
And in Psychology of Vision, the coach also says that you will always have people who, maybe it's for the next episode, this mirror principle that reflects to you. It's going to always be hard with some people because they're your direct mirror and they reflect the shit to you, or what you have to deal with, they show it to you. And usually it's the partner and kids. And if it's not the partner, it will be the kids.
Or friends. Or,
that and are if close. You don't have a partner, it will be friends or work colleagues or something like that. And I found that really interesting.
Whoever you spend a lot of time or be close with. Mm-hmm. Right?
And for us, it's clearly the partner, because of course we have to deal with our parents also, but
our relationship... That will come in the next episode, yeah. The parent.
But our relationship is not easy. And after 3 months of being together, we could see already...
You mean living together?
No.
Or being together?
Being together. Living together was okay, but being together, we would fight. We fight a lot. And we'll also talk about how we deal with fights.
Yes.
Because there is a progress. Thank God.
Because, yes, it is.
Yeah, it's not an
easy relationship.
But it's
more the way we deal with it than the fight itself.
Yeah. It's not an easy relationship. I mean, you hear people say... Already yesterday at the wedding, I was talking to someone saying that they got... They were saying that they got married. And when they got engaged, I asked, oh, were you not shit scared? Or were you not asking yourself many questions about it? And she was like, no. I knew since the beginning that's the person... And so I was like, wow. So I don't know what that means. If there are people it's easy for some people and they never fight. And we also talked about that. And there are people who fight since the beginning and it gets easier. Or, I don't know if then they have other people they have troubles with. Or maybe with their kids they will have trouble with. Yeah, we still need to dig deeper in that. We don't know the answer, but it's not an easy relationship. But I have the feeling that it gets easier with time, because we know one another more and more, and we know what triggers the other person and how to deal with the other person's mood.
Yeah.
And
if I may say one sentence to that, I don't want to say too much again. Because I talk too much.
Maybe a little metaphor is coming up?
No. Now it's just I want to say something to that. Because I also don't know the answer at all. But for me, I wonder if there is really people that just, you know, are easygoing and calmer. Yeah. Like we would say the Swiss people. You know, they're just easygoing. They don't fight. But also, I have a feeling a bit that... It can be the tendency to put things under the carpet, you know, like you suppress them into your subconscious, and at some point, like you said already, it comes up with other people. So I believe in the end we all have our shadows, we all have the things we deal with.
We're all crazy.
And it's like, oh, we talked about it yesterday. For me, it's a bit like opening the
Pandora box.
Is it the Pandora box? Maybe, that's the thing. Like opening the box where you face your demons, and then kind of once you did it, you can't go back. Mm. Or if you want to go back, they're going to haunt you, you know? Like once you opened, it's like you have to deal with it or you will be miserable.
Basically,
but as long as you leave it closed, you kind of find a way to live, you know, with this closed box. You maybe don't feel like so deeply connected, so deeply alive, but since you don't know what really this is, you know, this deep connection, deep aliveness, you don't miss it. Mm-hmm. So maybe these people never had this experience of like going to the real darkness of their self, but also not going to the light. So they just take this as life and never questions. And I feel we both are... There's something in us calling, you know, that calls for there must be something deeper, or we want to rise out of that. So I wonder if some people don't have that calling and for them it's fine. Or that's maybe another episode about why some people have the calling and other it seems like some people don't have it.
But
or they have it and they don't listen to it. I don't know. So
yeah, we don't know. If you know out there, we'd love to know.
Right. The answer. In general, write comments if there's a topic you find super interesting and you want to hear more about it. I mean, we have like a few, let's say 3, 4, 5 we want to talk about. But I mean, we want to start this now. Like we say, we do 3 episodes. But yeah, let's see what comes, you know, evolves out of that. Yeah,
it's our summer thing. But what I also want to say, what I want to add to the Pandora box is it means once you start working on yourself, right? That's what it means for people who have no clue what is the Pandora box. It's when you start working on yourself.
Facing your demons.
Through yoga, through all the spiritual stuff out there. For me, right now, it's psychology of vision. And I was very fortunate and grateful that I had a coach who was there after the engagement. And what she said is, yeah, you're actually just scared of all that love, and it all has to do with childhood and the relationship with your parents, and for me especially my dad, because my parents separated. And then she helped me a lot see why I was so scared of this commitment. And yeah, it was really great. And also I want to thank all my girlfriends who I could talk to and who had similar experiences, or it was just interesting to hear their, when they got engaged and married, and what they go through. Because automatically I talk to my struggles with my friends, with my close friends, and then they do too. And so it's a really nice exchange of struggles without complaining and without feeling like a victim or miserable. It's just, oh, well, that's interesting that for you it's like that. And maybe, yeah.
So you feel like sharing your struggles gives your friends the opportunity to share theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you open that space rather than both stay on, hey, everything's perfect, and then you never... Yeah.
And also it helps us understand ourselves better, and relationships, our partners, if they're similar. Yeah, I think talking, but without being the victim, you know, being without feeling miserable about yourselves, just...
No, just but being honest. It's what being you honest, said, yes. Radical honesty, or trying to be more honest.
Yeah. And without, and then when it comes back to the partner, being honest without hurting the other one. Really from because when I told you my truth, it was really from a place of love. Heart.
And I think that's really important, that the truth has to come from the heart and not from a space of anger where it's about hurting the other.
Yeah.
But the truth comes from a space where you're kind of freeing yourself of what you want to talk, and that is your truth, and not saying this is the truth or you have to change because you are wrong or something. It's just sharing your truth, and I think you only can learn that in a relationship. And that also then, of course, you have to allow your partner to also share the truth, you know, that you have also being strong enough to take what he would say, you know. It means both ways.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes you say I'm a bitch, and you don't say that, but you say...
You said that yourself.
Yeah. No, you say, you're so, I don't know, whatever, but...
I say you're like the storm. I always compare it to the weather, you know, it can be sunny, and then 5 minutes later it's a storm, but when it's the storm, I know also a few minutes later there will be, you know...
Sun again.
So often I can handle it, only when I'm super hungry.
Tired.
I started to say, hey, right now, I can't handle it so well, so, you know... Don't go too far.
Yeah, that's coming back to the fights, the tools, how to handle the fight. And one more thing I want to add, I think, about this whole engagement, this whole... When I was talking to my coach about it, and she said, yeah, it's all about the fears you have, and think about it, if what he does or what he's experimenting is bothering you so much, is triggering you so much, it means it's a part of you that is exactly the same. And that was like, and I knew that, I know this principle, but somehow the fact that we worked on it also in a session, and she helped me release it and integrate it and all these things, and it helped me have more compassion for you, actually, because mm-hmm. it helped, because it, and for myself, because it was a part that, in me that I didn't accept, mm-hmm. that I didn't integrate, and that's,
and then you projected it on me, yeah, somehow, yeah, subconsciously.
So that's really the next episode. I want to talk about that, this mirror,
and the projection, yeah,
yeah. If another person yeah. triggers you, what it means.
It's a big topic, yeah.
It will help. I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talk about that. There's going to be more metaphors.
Yeah, more. No wordplay yet, though.
Not yet.
But we tried. We want to make it fun also for the one, for yeah. us and the ones
because
who
in the end, it's, yes, it is hard work, but it can also, I think, what I know, or what we noticed in the end, you always, it's much easier in the end to deal with it if you find humor,
mm-hmm.
you know, with it. So and it doesn't become like this huge, unbearable, too serious thing that like pushes you down. But it's more something like, I don't know, for me again, like a metaphor, walking through pouring rain, you know. Yeah, like as kids, they walk through stormy weather or in the sun, you know, there's a snowstorm, but you can either just be miserable, so bad, but you can also like play games in it. Like there's a song, J.P. Cooper, We Were Raised Under Gray Skies, he talks about that, he found ways to play in the rain, you know. Like there's one line
that
says,
and we lose that.
Finding ways to play game in the rain, you know. And it's a bit like, for me, yes, that's it, you know. There might be struggles, but you can always find ways to even then bring humor or joy in it, even if it's kind of painful, you know. Like finding this ambivalence of, not letting it pull you down all the way, but even making you more resilient when you go through it together. And when you're miserable, like one says something and then you both have to laugh, you know, and then it's kind of not so bad anymore, instead of always going more into it. Yeah. Okay, I think we leave it to that, you know, otherwise we will continue forever.
We ended on a metaphor again, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be ready. Okay.
So you want to do the extraduction, or what is it called? The outro?
The conclusion.
You do that, okay?
Thank you for listening. We hope that it was useful in a way, or that you could relate, or make you laugh, or it gave you, our friends, it's nothing they don't know already, but let us know what you thought, and
or what you want to hear more about.
Yeah. And yeah, we're excited. We're looking forward to the next episode already. This is fun for us.
Yes.
And thanks, Till.
Thanks, Ophelie. Hear you next time. Whatever.
Listen next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.